Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. Jackie Beretta has a 25-year history as a successful Fortune 500 C-level executive and Big Four consultant in the information technology industry. She's led large organizations with hundreds of employees through challenging times and major transformations. She's a founding partner of Neura Group and also a practice director at Virtual Information Executives, where she provides technology consulting to higher education institutions. Jackie is the author of Primal Teams, which is published by AMACOM, a division of the AMA. Jackie, welcome to Edgewise.
Thank you, Dave.
Let's just jump in here. What's changed in recent years to make team members' emotions so critical to business success?
The major thing that's changed is that employers need a lot more creativity from their workers. It used to be that you could hire a worker and pretty much define what you needed them to do, put them to the task, and they could get it done. But these days, businesses have become so more complex. There was an IBM survey done back in 2010 that I think is really interesting, and they asked pretty much all global CEOs, what's it going to take for you to be successful into the future? And the majority of them came back and said, creativity. You know, our business today is so complex. We've got so much data to pour through. We've got changing markets. Customers are so demanding. And when we talk about creativity, needing creativity from people, emotion plays a really, really big part in that.
Mm-hmm.
Because depending on how a person is feeling, positive, negative, and then also their level of arousal, so how excited or how, maybe how bored they are, all those things play a really big part into how creative they are. So there's a particular optimal emotional disposition or optimal emotional state that a person really should be in if they're going to be that at their very most creative.
Jackie, I have a question. Do you find that people who are tasked with or challenged with creative solutions to business problems, do you think that they have to deal with vulnerability? I understand you talk about the emotional side of it, but it makes them sort of emotionally vulnerable. Don't you think that's a part of it?
Well, when you say emotionally vulnerable, tell me more about what you mean.
I think what I'm talking about is some people really extend themselves to be creative, you know, and you really almost dread somebody judging your ideas, you know, and in certain places, people are fearful of getting their ideas shot down.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And actually, fear is a big problem because anytime you're in a state of fear or any sort of negativity, which you could argue that all negativity comes from fear,
mm-hmm.
you're not your most creative.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting thing about that, though, is that that doesn't mean that you shouldn't allow negativity or fear to be expressed in an environment. And it's actually quite the opposite, because if you have a situation where people are feeling negative about something, then the best way for them to get through it and to get back to a more optimal state is to actually express it. So the last thing that you want is denial.
Mm-hmm.
But usually when people can express their fear, then they transition, they move through it. And another really interesting thing about fear, I've seen environments before where people are just basically prohibited from showing any sort of emotional display, you know, as far as anger, frustration, that sort of thing. And the reality is, you know, we talk so much about needing to have employees who are engaged. And the reality is, if people are engaged, then they feel emotional about their work.
Mm-hmm.
So they really, really care. And if something happens, you know, they don't get the budget they need or they lose a client or something like that, they're going to feel emotional about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have a negative reaction. And the thing that's important to understand about emotion is that it's primal. So if they have that kind of reaction, it's happening before their logical mind can even get a control of it and squash it, you know, so it's going to happen. And if you don't make it acceptable, then what happens is people disengage.
Mm-hmm.
They say, well, I can't afford to display any sort of negativity, so I'm just not going to care as much.
Mm-hmm.
And so we force people to be disengaged when we don't let them express their negativity.
Right, and then we wonder about their commitment.
Exactly.
I interview any number of authors and thought leaders on topics and buzzwordy types of things such as engagement and motivation and, of course, the ever-popular classic innovation. Yet all of those things pretty much are driven by an employee's emotions. Can you talk a little bit about the relationship between emotions and those sort of buzzwordy, big concept business ideas?
So certainly, you know, we already talked a little bit about engagement, and so I'll just repeat or maybe emphasize that engagement is about people being emotional about what they do, so really deeply caring, which means that there are emotions there, so they care so much that they really feel it. And then as far as motivation is concerned, one of the things that we're finding out, that neuroscientists are finding out, is that we all have a seeking emotional system, and it's responsible primarily for our motivation. And it is most activated, it's most stimulated by novelty. So you can think about when we have that feeling when we get a new job or we get a new project, and we're like, you know, it's fresh and it's stimulating, and there's a level of excitement. And even if you are successful at a job or in a project, once you've been at it for, you know, a few months and definitely, you know, a few years if you're on the same job, then it's just not as exciting.
Mm-hmm.
No matter, you know, even if you're meeting your goals and things are going well, it's still just not as exciting. And so novelty is really important to stimulate our seeking emotional system.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big part of our motivation. So it's important as a leader in business to, as much as possible, give your employees novelty. And one of the things I talk about a lot is organizing work and project cycles,
mm-hmm.
as much as possible, but
mm-hmm.
have a real beginning, a real end, and have goals and are as short as possible so people get that feeling of novelty in their work. And then you also talked about the buzzword of innovation. As we talked about a little bit, we come up with our most innovative ideas when we're in an optimal emotional state. I like to give the example of the candle task, and that's a task that's often used in creativity research, and it's where a researcher will give a subject a candle and a box of tacks and a book of matches, and they'll say, now figure out a way to attach that candle to the wall such that when you light it, it doesn't drip wax on the floor. And most people can't get that, but the real answer is to dump the tacks out of the box, tack the box to the wall, put the candle in the box, and then light it,
mm-hmm.
and it drips in the box.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to get that solution, you have to think it more creatively, and you have to separate the idea of the tacks from the box.
Mm-hmm.
And most people don't get that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been a lot of research done using that particular experiment, putting people in different emotional states, you know, like big groups of people, and they'll put them into typically four different emotional states. Like they'll show them some really funny video to the first group, maybe like television bloopers or something. And then they'll show a Nazi concentration camp documentary to the second group. And then they'll show something really boring, like how to calculate the area under a curve to the third group. And then maybe the fourth group will be a control. And then they'll ask them to solve that candle task. And the people who are in that first group do vastly better, usually three times better than any of the other three groups. So emotion has a huge impact on how creative we are.
Mm-hmm. In a lot of tech startups, and it's not just tech, you know, you see it in a lot of startups, but you know, either small businesses that are just starting or larger companies that still have that small startup type of feel to them, you always seem to run into the ping pong table or the foosball table or whatever. There's this almost rec room that's on premise there. What exactly do these types of physical activities tap into that will help stimulate employees' minds? To me, it's a lot of fun, obviously, but what else is going on there?
The reason that most organizations do that is because they think it's stress relief. And it is stress relief. So anytime you're having fun, it does release stress. But the other thing that it's doing that I think a lot of them may not understand is that it also is stimulating your seeking emotional system, the same one that I talked about that is stimulated by novelty. So play, when you play in the optimal way, and I'll define that in a second, but when you play in the optimal way, you are stimulating your seeking emotional system. So you're really getting it, you know, at the height of your motivation, you know, your interest. The opposite of that is burnout. So if you don't stimulate that emotional system, then you just don't have the energy to do what you need to do. You don't have the interest, and you're not at that peak arousal level for your creativity. And when I say playing in the optimal way, that means doing something that's really fun, that takes your mind away from the work, but it's not so taxing that it takes your energy away,
mm-hmm.
that it leaves you feeling drained.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, a lot of organizations now use gamification techniques. So they might say, hey, you know, I'll give the programmer that finds the most bugs this week, I'll give them 10 points, you know, something like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
That is not optimal play, because optimal play is really done just for fun, not for status, not for reward,
mm-hmm.
none of that, just for fun.
Earlier we talked about fear. Arguably fear is a natural emotion, but it could be interpreted as a negative emotion. There are other things that are sort of akin to fear on the negative side, anger, frustration, anxiety, whatever. You, in the book, you feel that these types of emotions can actually be productive to a team or business. Can you flip that over and give us a little bit of an explanation why you feel that way?
The story that I like to use on this is something that happened to me not too long ago, where I was responsible for a team that was doing the web design, the web development for a big company, and they had asked for a budget increase. And I just wasn't able to get that budget increase. The company didn't have the money to do it. So I had to go back to this team and tell them, sorry, but you know, we just can't do it. And there was this particular guy on the team, his name was David, and he was pissed. He was very, very angry that we didn't get the budget increase. And he cared a lot about the website, and he knew that it needed a lot of work, and he knew that not getting the budget increase meant that we weren't going to be able to do the things that our customers really wanted us to do for the website. And so he went really on a rant and raving fit, very upset, and I basically let him do it. And some people would say, why? You know, why would you do that? And really, there are three reasons. Number one, I knew that we needed to engage him. We needed to be creative to figure out how we were going to do what we needed to do with the budget that we had. And so I needed him to work through those emotions. And anytime people are feeling those sorts of emotions and they're not expressing them, they're basically stamping them down, then they just hold on to them. He wouldn't have been able to move back into that more creative state without releasing those emotions, getting them out, expressing them. And then number two, he was a highly engaged person. He cared a lot about the company and he cared a lot about the website. And when he got upset about that, that was really primal in him, in the sense of he was a highly intelligent person, but emotion is really not about intelligence or analytics. It comes out directly, and it comes to the forefront before our logical minds can even get engaged and try to tamp them down. So that's what I mean by emotions being primal. So if we have somebody like that that really cares about what they're doing, and something doesn't go his way, like he doesn't get the budget he wants, he's going to react in that manner before he can even control it. And if we don't make those kind of reactions acceptable, then what happens is that people become less engaged.
Mm-hmm.
They say, well, you know, I can't risk being emotional, so I'm just going to not care as much.
Mm-hmm.
And then thirdly, the fact that David got so upset about that and expressed it the way that he did sounded a really strong alarm in the team. So we all paid attention. It's like, whoa, you know, if anybody was thinking that it wasn't a big deal, they didn't think that after they heard David. So he sounded a really strong alarm, and we all, you know, stood at attention and was like, okay, what are we going to do about this? And we put a, you know, a high priority, and we found some good solutions to work with the budget that we did have, and it was very useful that David did what he did.
Okay, here's a typical leadership or management challenge. My team is burned out. I mean, I've been working them like sled dogs, okay? And it really just seems to me that they don't have the energy that they need in order to get their work done, to get this next big project done.
So the first thing is recognize that it's an emotional issue. So it's not so much a physical issue. It's not just that they don't care, you know, that they just don't have that motivation. It's that they're burned out, so that, and that's an emotional issue. And you can deal directly with the emotion. So some good things to do, and you know, we talked some about playing. Playing is a great way to basically counteract burnout. Another thing to do is play certain types of music, so certain tempos that are more uplifting. And, you know, there's some specifics to that as far as what types of tones and what types of melodies are more uplifting than others. But that can have a big, big impact on people. And then there are some shifting techniques that I talk about in the book also. And once you become good at this, you know, it takes some practice. But on a personal basis, you can work with your emotions directly to basically put yourself in the optimal emotional state. And that comes through a series of breathing exercises, so like long in and out sort of breathing, conjuring up a pleasant memory, so basically taking your mind to that place and then also feeling it in your body. And then a big thing that can come along with that is facial expressions. So if you put on a smile, okay, but this is not so easy as it sounds. If you can genuinely put your face in an expression of a smile, that will drastically help your mood actually be happier. But it's got to be a real one, so it's got to come from within. And I'll just give you an aside that there was a photographer that I worked with about a year ago, and she wanted me to smile genuinely. And so what she said at the beginning of the session, she said, give me the name of two or three people that every time you see them walk in the room, you smile. You're just so glad to see them. And so I gave her the name of my husband and a couple of friends. And then every time she wanted me to smile, instead of saying, cheese, she would say, hi, Jim. And she would have me say, hi, Jim, which is my husband's name, and imagine that he was walking into the room, and that would cause me to smile, like a genuine smile. And then as soon as you put your face in that expression, you feel it more strongly. And the other thing that's really good, like if you're working with a team, if you can do that in a genuine way, facial expressions are extremely contagious. There's been a lot of research done on that. And if somebody puts their face in a certain expression, no matter what it is, whether it's happy, sad, frustrated, whatever, people emulate that. Almost everybody will emulate that. So really, you're spreading that through the whole team if you can do it right. So those are some things. And I talk a lot about purpose in the book as well, and how important it is to find a purpose that resonates with the team. You have to understand that everybody has a different identity. Everybody comes from a different space. They all get inspired by a different purpose. But finding the right one, and there's a lot of instructions in the book about how to do that, finding the right one can be so uplifting in a team also. And there are a lot of other things. I could go on and on. But
sure. No, that's great. Just to wrap up here, I'm kind of curious. And this probably would have been a good first question, but here I am at the end. What is a primal team?
A primal team is one that understands that their emotions are primal, as in not connected to their analytical mind, at least not directly connected. to their analytical mind, and they're able to work with those emotions at their source, you know, through methods that work directly with their emotions, not through their analytical mind. And so a primal team is a team that has figured out, you know, how to work with emotions in that way. They are able to do some amazing things, creativity, innovation, all the things we've been talking about.
We've been speaking to Jackie Beretta. She's author of the book Primal Teams, which is published by AMACOM, a division of the American Management Association. Jackie, this has been very interesting. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure, Dave.
Follow the American Management Association on Twitter to learn about upcoming free programs, the latest news, management insights, and special offers. You can follow us at AMANET. That's AMANET. Hope to tweet to you real soon. Here at the AMA, we value your feedback. If you've ever attended any of our webcasts, webinars, or seminars, you've no doubt encountered our feedback surveys. Well, our podcasts are no different. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.